yeah, I should tell you that. I should start out that way. I should start out with that wonderful bit of news. A friend of mine called me 3 days ago, texted me actually, and said that her sister is now a member of the body of Christ. She believed in Christ from reading the book, The First Idiot in Heaven. I'm telling you, folks, if I can brag here for 1 second, but it really ain't bragging if it's true. This book is the clearest presentation I've ever seen of Paul's gospel. And Paul's gospel is the ark, the boat that will deliver you from the coming indignation and introduce you into the body of Christ. This book is full of information. It's entertaining. It's got great illustrations. How many theology books do you know have a piece of art in them depicting Hitler in drag? Where else are you going to find this except from me, Martin Zender? Hi, this is Martin Zender, and it was great news I got a few days ago. And there's a rumor going around that some of you still don't have this book, The First Idiot in Heaven. And I'm having a hard time believing it. If you want your sons, your daughters, your husband, your wife, any of your loved ones, even those you hate, buy them The First Idiot in Heaven. I'm not trying to make money here, believe me, folks. I want you to get the information to people who need it so that the last member can come into the body of Christ and we can get out of here. Because you know we're waiting for the last member of the body of Christ to pick up my book and say, oh, I get it. Boing, 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 boing. That's it. We're out of here. That's it. Oh, I get it. Last person out of control. We're released from the tyranny of gravity, lifted up into the celestials to be with our glorious Savior forever, as I told you yesterday. Somebody asked me, Mark, why do you always say forever that way? Forever. It's because of the movie The Sandlot. You've never seen The Sandlot? It's a kid's movie, but some good adult humor in there too. Go rent The Sandlot. It's great. And you'll hear the phrase forever. So that's why I like to say it that way. All right. Now, I told you yesterday that I was going to talk about the reincarnation being an impossibility. I was going to bring a verse out of Hebrews because we're approaching it now. And I've been waiting for this. This is one of those passages in Hebrews that gets misinterpreted. People use it for various things. And ironically, never using it for what it's supposed to be used for, an example of how Christ delivers people. I'm going to get to that verse right now. Since you've been in suspense for 24 hours, now here we go. Talked about Christ at the conclusion of the eons. That was the end of verse 26. Now let's go to verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 9. How many chapters in this book? Let me see here. Yeah, that's what I thought. There are 13 chapters in this book. You know what that means. We're on chapter 9. We have 4 chapters left. And this means that I, Martin Zender, will soon be beginning a series on the book of Revelation. And I suspect I will be on that series until the snatching away. Because it's going to be in depth and it's going to be long. Because we're not going to leave any stones unturned. If I see a stone, I'm going to turn it over. And we're going to apply it to things going on today. And I think that it's important to sort of know what's going on. The reason I'm debating telling you this is because I myself stay away from the news as much as possible. Now, I have my mail account at Yahoo, so I go to Yahoo homepage and I see the headlines there. So if anything big happens, I'm knowing about it. So the trouble in Syria, things like that, I'm up on that. So, but on the other hand, the truths that A.E. Nock wrote about in the 1930s, I think 1935 he wrote this book, truths are truths and they're timeless. So for the most part, I'm going to be teaching you timeless truth. So I'm not going to be asking you to suck the breast of the news. I'm not going to tell you to, suckle CNN. Just constantly get your nourishment from the secular world and their presentation of the news, which isn't really news. I'm not asking you to do that. I don't do it myself. We're going to present timeless truth. And again, we're going to also keep in mind that what's happening in the book of Revelation, a lot of it pertains to Israel, not all of it, a lot of it pertains to Israel, and we're going to contrast it with the body of Christ. So when you listen to the Revelation series, it's not like I'm going to be jettisoning Paul's gospel, because I'm going to be using it, I'm going to be bringing it in and showing how the book of Revelation and what Israel has to, quote, look forward to, unquote, pales in comparison to our destiny. Okay, now back to Hebrews 9:27. Inasmuch as it is reserved to the human, actually it's plural, to the men. Let me just read it without the superscript H. There's a superscript H in the Concordant version, which turns men to human. I'm going to leave that out. Let me try this again. 27. Inasmuch as it is reserved to the men to be dying once, yet after this a judging, thus Christ also, being offered once for the bearing of the sins of many, will be seen a second time by those awaiting him apart from sin for salvation through faith. Now, some people will say, well, this disproves reincarnation because it is reserved to humans. Now, people assume that this verse is talking about general humans. It is reserved to men, that is, to humankind, to be dying once. Everybody dies once. Well, this simply isn't true because some people die twice, second death. Some people die three times. That's right. What do I mean by, well, let's just assume for argument's sake that Lazarus was an unbeliever. So Lazarus died, and for 4 days he was in the tomb. Jesus raised him from the dead. Then, unless he's still walking around today, which I highly doubt, he died again. That was his second death. So if he's an unbeliever, he's not, but let's say he was, he's going to go to the second death, which is called the second death, but for what for him would be the third death. Now, some of those who the Lord raised, the 500 were raised from the dead after his resurrection. Some of them may have been unbelievers, although I don't know why he'd raise an unbeliever. Was an unbeliever ever raised in Scripture? That's a really good question. I don't know. Let's see. We have the widow of Nain's son. We have Tabitha from Acts. And we have Lazarus. I don't know. Paul raised that guy that fell asleep during his sermon in Acts. So that guy could possibly have been an unbeliever, but he was sitting there listening to Paul until midnight. He had probably not gotten much sleep the night before. So I would say no, Jesus never raised anyone who wasn't a believer, I'm thinking. So that means that what that means is that this verse still has to be interpreted another way because many people died the second death. And some people will say, well, this disproves reincarnation. Well, there are other verses that do that. This verse isn't trying to disprove reincarnation because it's not talking about humanity in general dying once. It doesn't mean there is reincarnation. It just means let's look at the context. Let's look at the context. It is reserved to the human, the men. What men? What humans? To be dying once. What? The chief priests, the humans of the context, which is the priesthood. All right, now I'm going to explain this to you because this is really not known. I mean, I am opening up for you a truth that is so generally unknown that only E equals MC squared is more of a mystery to people. Now, listen to this. I'm reading now, and then I'm going to go through the passage in the Hebrew Scriptures from A.E. Nock's commentary. A.E. Nock is a German guy. He's born in St. Louis, German bred. In 1909, he translated the Concordant version of the New Testament, which is the most accurate translation in existence. A really scholarly man. Now, this is what he says. This is not a general statement concerning all men, but the men who have been in view continually, that is, the Levitical priests. The word judgment has no reference to the judgment of mankind for sin. So whenever we see the word judgment, it is appointed to the men once to die, after that to judgment. People use this to teach eternal torment. Once you're going to die, then the judgment. Not talking about all humanity. And the judgment here is a specific judgment having nothing to do with the judgment of mankind as a whole for sin, but the setting to rights of those cases in Israel which continued until the death of the high priest. There were certain legal cases in Israel that were not settled until the high priest died. All right, A.E. Nock again here. The innocent manslayer lived in the city of refuge until the death of the great priest. Reference there is Numbers 35, 22 through 29, and I'm going to go there in a moment. Then he might return to his patrimony, that is his family. So this manslayer, the innocent one, the guy who accidentally killed somebody, went to a city of refuge, and he was safe there. So he couldn't be the victim of a vindictive death, a counter murder, because he's innocent. So he's safe if he goes to this city of refuge until the death of the great priest, i.e. the high priest, in which case he can return to his family. This was his judgment. You see, a judgment isn't necessarily bad. We see here judgment and we automatically think it's something really bad. But judgment can be good. So in this case, the judgment was that this guy could return home. Then he might return to his patrimony. The parallel demands that this judgment correspond with the salvation which will come to those who are awaiting Christ. So in other words, Paul's not all of a sudden diverting here from the context at large and starting to teach on death. It is appointed unto men once to die. He's not all of a sudden leaving what he was talking about, the priest offering sacrifices year by year, and starting a completely new topic, a new unrelated topic. No, he's not. It's the same topic, and this has to correspond. There's a context here. It corresponds with the salvation which will come to those who are awaiting Christ. He, Christ, the great chief priest, has died. The parallel is the chief priest dies, and in due time, Israel, the manslayer, right? Israel was the manslayer, although they did it purposely. They did it premeditatedly. It was not a crime of innocence, of inadvertence. They purposely did it. But anyway, the manslayer shall return to the land of his possession. In other words, Israel, the manslayer who slayed Jesus Christ, is going to return to their homeland, and they're going to do that in the big picture now, macrocosmically, because of the death of Christ. Now, Paul is showing an analogy that just as the innocent manslayer back in the day was to return to his patrimony at the death of the chief priest, that signaled that this guy was free to leave the city of refuge, go back to his homeland. Thus also, Jesus Christ, who's the high priest, comparing them to the old order of high priests, his death means that the whole nation of Israel is going to come back to the Holy Land. I love it when stuff makes sense, and this is the only thing that makes sense. References Numbers 35:22 and 22 through 29. I can read. I'm out of time. Read that on your own. Numbers. I'll read it for you tomorrow if I remember. Numbers. It's boring, but it's essential truth to understand this passage of Hebrews anyway. Numbers 35:22 through 29. We'll go into that tomorrow. But man, I just love it when stuff makes sense. People so much take scriptures out of context to teach their pet doctrines. I'll tell you what, let's go to the context, let's find out what God is talking about, and everything's going to be clear to you as it became today.